Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, again, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. That's right, it's about you, you industry hero. And if you're out there on video, I'm pointing right at your face right now. This platform celebrates you. You are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly, you innovate. You're changing lives and you're changing the world each and every day. And if you're not, if you don't think, come talk to me because you are. Thank you very much for joining. Thank you for joining this particular celebration. All right. In the hot seat, we have a gentleman by the name of David Kahn. That's C-A-H-N. Blue Ridge Global is the company. And this is a timely topic because of this squiffy whatever this market we call post-pandemic pandemic whatever it is. Supply chain must invest in resiliency. How about that one? Yeah, let's get cracking. Come on, not a cool topic. I mean, I've had a number of conversations about supply chain and why it's important, and it is important, don't get me wrong, it is important. But I think one thing that this particular COVID world we live in, we need some level of resiliency within that supply chain, because I think it caught us off guard. But you know what? People like David, Blue Ridge, and others, they have answers, because you know what we're all about here on the Industrial Talk Podcast, right? You know, we're all about educating, but we want to educate in a entertaining way. That's right. And we want to be collaborating. And we don't just want to collaborate and chirp at each other. We want to collaborate to come up and solve problems, because industry, you solve problems. And we have to collaborate to do that. We don't have all the answers. But when we get together in a collaborative way, answers happen. I love it. You're solving problems. And then, of course, we got to really think about innovation. We do. And it's not going to happen if you're not educating and if you're not collaborating. And, you know, innovation is a result of that type of stuff. You got to dream. You got to think big. You got to work with people. The Industrial Talk Podcast, the Industrial Talk platform, is a network of networks. We're doing an industry talk, Industrial Talk 2.0. How about that? Because we want to be able to take you, industry professional, you, whoever you are, you know, who, yeah, it doesn't really matter, and be able to highlight your skills because you solve problems. Industrialtalk.com is where it's at. Be on the lookout because it's pretty doggone cool. I'm telling you right now, I'm always excited. I am. I'm pointing at myself right now. Scott does get pretty amped up about things. But this one I'm really amped up about, because you could go out to Industrial Talk. You can then go to Industry Heroes. Now we're going down that road. You go to that Industry Heroes, right? And then you're going to say, well, I want to know somebody that's in, let's say, oil and gas. I want to know somebody that's in, IoT, Industry 4.0, whatever it might be. And you can filter and find those individuals and their companies and reach out and then find out everything that is damn cool about every single one. And then you're going to say, I want to educate some more. I want to collaborate with them because I want to innovate. How about that? I'm all tingly now. That's pretty doggone cool. All right, let's get cracking. Again, I got to tell you, man, this was a pretty cool doggone interview. I really enjoyed it. David just, he's got a lot of energy too. You'll notice if you go out there on the video, if you go to my YouTube channel, Industrial Talk, and you find this particular video, or you can just go to Industrial Talk and then find where his podcast is located. You'll see the video there too. He is infectious when it comes to this supply chain stuff. I'm telling you right now, it makes it fun. And I mean, it is entertaining. I'm without a doubt, I'm thinking about changing my career to be more, no, I'm not. I'm sorry. That's just me putting myself way out there, jumping the shark tank right now. But anyway, we're going to be talking a lot about supply chain, resiliency, and we do need it. And what do we do? What are the strategies? David is out there. He's got a badass stat card on LinkedIn. Yeah. But you could find it on Industrial Talk, and you're saying, Scott, okay, I'm going to do that. Yeah. David Kahn, he's bringing the lumber. Enjoy the interview. David, welcome to the Industrial Talk podcast. I'm excited about this conversation. How are you doing?
I'm doing mighty fine. You know, living the dream. Living the dream.
And that dream is what? Solving problems.
On this, solving, you know, the problems on Industrial Talk today.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I hear you, because that is important, and that's what people want to hear. Problem solving with a sparkly attitude. All right, let's give the listeners a little background, a little 411 on who David Kahn is and Blue Ridge Global. And then we're going to venture into, I like this, resiliency in your supply chain and why we need to do that. Give us a little background.
Okay. So David Kahn, been around the ERP supply chain, CRM space for too long. Been worked in manufacturing, B2B, distribution, retail, had my own e-commerce companies for a while, built them, grew them, sold them, and driving product marketing activities and content for Blue Ridge. And Blue Ridge Global is actually a supply chain planning provider. They're kind of a leading space in the wine and spirits, in the food service.
No way, really?
Wholesale distributing. Automotive aftermarket.
Yeah. And you had me at wine and spirits.
Yeah. Yes. They're doing
very
well.
I was all distracted after that one.
Market is growing dramatically these days. So So they're doing very well, and they do pricing and planning and price optimization and planning optimization, for the industry.
See it. I like that. And I mean, it was funny because the pre-pandemic, right? As if you can remember back then, because I certainly can't. Apparently, that was such a long time ago. But apparently, they were saying. But anyway, pre-pandemic, we didn't realize how important the supply chain was, right? Just like you just took it for granted. You know, that product was on the shelf. Yeah, there it is. It's right there. It's ready to go. And then the pandemic hits, and then all of a sudden, where in the hell is that product? It's not on the. Then everybody all of a sudden said, doggone it, where is it? And then they realize supply chain is pretty important.
Yeah, as we all scramble for, you know, sanitary clothing and toilet paper and hand sanitizers and can't find them and empty shelves. And yeah, pretty important stuff all of a sudden.
It was, but then that segues into what we're going to be talking about. I realized how to a certain extent, how fragile that supply chain was. We just sort of took it for granted, and it was like doing its thing, and then all of a sudden there's a burp in the old thing, and then all of a sudden, boom, everybody's all pissed off. Tell us a little bit about investing in the resiliency. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. So
what are we really talking about here is that the pandemic, and there's going to be other crises, you know, that occur every day, every year, you know, and that caused basically these supply chain disruptions that you talked about. And they're requiring really better visibility to supply and demand fluctuations. And that's really what we're talking about, resiliency. And then how can I respond quicker? So you see, like, for example, unforeseen weather events and seasonality. Right. You know, we have spoilage on fresh fruits and vegetables. We have people hoarding items. We have demand for other items, you know, that comes to almost to a complete standstill. You know, you got all these different changing business models. You know, you have food service distributors that were selling a lot to restaurants and that kind of distribution channel, and now selling to grocery stores. And so whole different shifts in models are occurring. You know, same is true with, you know, the wine and spirits, you know, manufacturers starting to shift their business models and making hand sanitizers, you know, and selling that to totally different markets. And at the same time, you know, how do I get these products to the market because of this, you know, there's labor shortages on drivers. And so, you know, so not only, even if I was able to react, I got delivery and fulfillment issues. Yeah. And as people and you know, people want to get their stuff faster, better, quicker. You know, they're used to ordering today and getting it tomorrow and getting it in an hour. And so that puts unbelievable demand pressures on how I support and how I can respond to changes in demand a lot faster.
I'll tell you, it it highlighted just that complexity that exists today in the supply chain, and how, you know, that chain itself, there are some weak spots within those links. And once that one link begins to falter a little bit, then everything else starts to, there's a rippling effect. And so the question I have to you, recognizing that if you haven't taken this whole pandemic thing seriously and made some adjustments and making your supply chain more resilient, what do we need to do today to achieve that?
So there's a couple of things. One is really we have to fine tune how we drive our planning and pricing, you know, and the amount of data that we're coming into the supply chain, and how do I absorb that? So for example, Blue Ridge is using a lot of artificial intelligence and machine learning based on that data that's coming in. I mean, there's a phenomenal amount of data that's coming into the supply chain. And so at the same time, you have to maximize or optimize the thousands and thousands of stock keeping units that you're just delivering through the market and through different channels. So you may have what they call a multi-echelon network, where you're selling through distributors, you're selling, those distributors are selling to wholesalers, and then you're selling, sometimes you're selling direct to retailers. And so managing the inventory and the price points and the geographies by category, by assortment, you know, how do I effectively do that without using some level of machine learning or artificial intelligence to help me drive that analytics, you know, much more effectively and optimize my levels of assortment inventory, optimize my revenue, you know, slash my inventory carrying costs. But really one of the unique things about, and it all comes back to our, you know, knowledge of supply and demand,
yeah,
you know, traditionally managing that supply and demand. And one of the unique things is we've started out historically with supply, you know, supply chain planning. And that was really managing the supply side. And then we start to wake up one day and we said, you know, we need to start managing our demand better. We need to get better visibility to demand. And so up came this whole sales and operations planning, and we were marrying demand management systems with supply chain planning systems. And so the next evolution really came with integrated business planning. And really what we're talking about there is integrating some financial modeling into the system, so I can fine tune my revenue streams, fine tune my margins, optimize and even tune that demand, that selling the products that I want to sell versus reacting. And that's really where the pricing optimization comes into the equation. So the end result is a fine tune.
David, it's interesting. You're talking, you're walking the walk, you're doing all the stuff. That's really pretty cool. I just think that people, because of the pandemic, got caught off guard. I think what you're talking about is a very sophisticated level of thinking associated with their supply chain, the supply side, demand side, using AI analytics, data, pulling it in and being able to identify those nuggets of insights to make better decisions. I think because of the pandemic, everybody's like, oh my God, it's out there. But I mean, you're a sophisticated type of guy.
So think about it, you know, simplistically, let's kind of take it back a level. So simplistically, no one wants to hold the inventory.
Nobody.
The suppliers don't want it.
Nobody
wants it. The manufacturer doesn't want it. The distributors don't want it.
Yeah.
And the retailers want to keep their inventory, you know, as fast moving as possible.
Right.
Everybody wants that inventory to move as fast as possible. So we implemented all of these different tools to manage that inventory as fast, as good, as well as we can. And so we want to know as fast as possible from the demand of when we buy it, how to replenish it. We want to react really fast. We want to, you know, which stock keeping units are moving faster. How do I want to optimize the fast flowing. I want to do something with the slow moving, but at the same time, how do I balance that? And since no one wants the inventory, you know, everyone's running lean. So you get a disruption or get a spike in demand, and the supply chain's not ready for that. We no longer have that luxury of huge buffer stocks and huge safety stocks in the supply chain. You know, everyone is you know, we're delivering right to the consumer. We're cutting out the middleman in a lot of industries. No one wants the inventory. Everyone wants to accelerate that whole supply and fulfillment equation.
And what's funny is I've been at a lot of industrial sites, and they have this hush-hush conversation about their boneyard. And it's a special locations where nobody wants to carry inventory, but they have a boneyard. So when that whole problem happens, they have a boneyard.
Exactly. They have this buffer stock, you know?
They do.
And so the buffer stocks, you know, is really what they call safety stocks. And,
that is.
You know, how do I optimize that safety stock? Because I really don't want it. I mean, the safety stock is like your insurance policy.
It is.
And so, if I had better forecasting and better demand visibility, and I was much more integrated throughout the supply chain, that buffer stock or safety stock could be lower and lowered and lowered, and it would reduce everyone's carrying cost.
Here's my question is I get it. I see what you're doing. That's fantastic stuff. Great thinking, great innovation in that mindset. But what if I'm a vendor and I'm old school guy, right? I do it this way. I've been doing it this way forever. I'm going to have a disconnect between my innovative thinking, like what you're doing, and having that conversation with old school guy and see how I can optimize it. How do you deal with that sort of disconnect?
So lexicon
disconnect. I don't know.
So I think really, you know, the problem is that that person that was doing it manually or spreadsheet wise can't do it that way anymore. He just can't. The reason is that we are now delivering and fulfilling our customer demands in so many different ways. You can order on one place and have it shipped to another. You can order online and pick up in the store. You can, you know, managing all of those echelons, I'll call them, of inventory. Where do I put the inventory to optimize my demand signals? Where should I have it? How much should I have? Which items should I have in it? You know, how do I price those items more, most effectively to drive revenues? Where is the ones that have the least carry? And at the same time, people are driving more customized, personalized type of products. So the number of stock keeping units is growing phenomenally. You know, and typically in a high tech market, the average product life cycle is about 14 months. So there's new products coming out every day, how do you manage?
You can't manage the
use and the distribution aspects without a system.
What I hear you saying, David, is that you, if you're listening to this podcast and you do it on a spreadsheet, I highly recommend that you sort of get into the 21st century and begin to invest in some innovation to manage that demand, that supply, all of the stuff, or somebody's just going to go right around you and satisfy their need to be able to not hold stock, but have greater real-time capabilities. So don't be left out in the cold, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that difficult. I mean, it seems to me it would be far more difficult to manage these doggone spreadsheets than not to allow the technology, the innovation to do it for you, right? It just seems, I mean, we're there now.
I mean, we've always kind of managed the supply side, and that, you know, we're getting better handle on the demand side, but one of the things that really can shape the demand and drive ultimate cleaner forecast is that pricing optimization tool. So you're really bringing in financial metrics for the company that, you know, what is the target margins that they want to achieve? What is the high selling products that they want to move forward? How do they move the slow moving items or end of life items that we just talked about? How do I optimize what I have? And drive the revenue and shape my demand. Instead of being reactive, I want to be proactive. And if I can be proactive in shaping the demand that I want to sell at the price points I want to sell, then I can supply that more effectively and more efficiently, and I can lower my inventory, optimize my carrying costs, optimize my inventory delivery systems, optimize my fulfillment, support the truckloads that I need to deliver out to the channels.
And can I incrementally approach this problem? Because you know as well as I do, everybody gets into that business mode. We're just doing this. We're just grinding it out. And we're not optimized by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just sort of in general. Is there a way of being able to sort of incrementally proceed down this road to do that?
So, yeah, there is. I mean, you know, you're going to start using a lot of you know, before you start planning, you're going to start executing. You know, I'll react. I got a new customer and he wants this and he wants this product and I need to get it to that person. So you're going to react. You're going to use what we would call supply chain execution. You're going to optimize your transactions to fulfill that order, prioritize that order, get it on some truck and deliver it, you know? And so you're going to use different warehousing systems, different transportation management systems that really drive execution of your supply chain. Where you start getting the next level up is now let me start better, do better planning of that.
Yes. You know,
let me plan better. You know, let me get a forecast that's more accurate. And traditionally, you know, your forecast is going to be off, you know.
But I have to interrupt. It was so mature over here. I could forecast. I could sort of deal with it over here pre-pandemic. But now the pandemic has hit. I'm having a hell of a time trying to forecast this thing because I have no idea what that demand side equation looks like because it's so squiffy out there. How do I deal with that?
So there's a lot of different technologies and a lot of different methods in which you can start getting real-time signals of the demand. You know, think of integration from a retailer, you know, the point-of-sale system, you know. If I can react, you know, there was one example of a leading perfume manufacturer, okay? And they, you know, they put out something like 1,500 new products a year. And some of them are successful and some of them aren't. Okay. But they got to react real fast to the ones that are successful and the ones at the same time, which ones aren't.
Yeah.
So there was a story where a leading actress was on Good Morning America and she talked about this new mascara that she was using.
Right.
And immediately within like an hour, it spiked that demand. And so that manufacturer and those resellers and wholesalers had to, you know, jump up their replenishments. So those demand signals are real time.
Yeah.
And so getting closer to the demand signal allows me to replenish better.
Yeah, you need to integrate. You need to be able you need to connect. It's an integrate. It's a data thing, and you can pull it all in. But this is all great conversation. It's all wonderful. And you know, I've got my health. You know, I'm shaking my head. You had me at wine and spirits at the very beginning. I was like super honed in on this conversation. What are the roadblocks?
So just like any other technology, it's, you know, people, process, and technology. So, you know, I have, you know, the ability, how effective can I do change management, you know? And another thing is, hey, I've got all these other conflicting projects going on at the same time. I don't have time for you, you know. You know, I'm too busy putting out forest fires than, you know, trying to get things, you know, predictive.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, moving from putting out emergencies and fires during the pandemic to actually moving towards something that's more proactive and planning in the new world is going to really help it. But, you know, right now people are trying to get back to work.
They are. They're trying to survive and trying to figure out how to rebuild. And how do I prosper going forward? Or is this just like digging a ditch and then filling it back in and there's no real progress being made? But to your point, and for you listeners out there, it's always a human element. The technology is the technology. And you're going to have great people talk about their innovation and how they're constantly adding to it. But unless you get people to really embrace it and recognize that this is important and be able to prioritize their workload, for lack of a better term, it's always going to be something of a challenge. It's always a human element. It's always that culture that keeps succeed or fails. It's like, and boy, especially today, I find, David, that the pandemic itself has created a greater focus on things that are important, right? Before pandemic, it was like, there's a lot of fluff, a lot of crap out there. But now people don't have that luxury of just sort of, woohoo, I want to focus on what is important and executing it as fast as I possibly can and adjusting and so on and so forth. Do you get that same sense?
Yeah, yes, I'm going to say yes. And the way that I see people responding to that is, tell me what I need to work on. You know, manage by exceptions. I don't, you know, if I got all these different, you know, orders out there, you know, tell me the ones that I'm in danger of. Tell me what's the ones that are going to be late. I don't care about the 95 of them that are on time. Right now, just let me deal with the 5 exceptions, you know? And so how do I get that material to me faster? How do I fulfill that order quicker? You know, it's management by exceptions, you know, but I'm going to let the data and the decisions to help drive those decisions on how I'll correct that action or correct that exception. I'm going to leverage technology to do that. I can use machine learning. I can use artificial intelligence to say, I had a similar problem to like that, you know, 2 months ago or a year ago. You know, how did we handle it then? And let the system make recommendations, not only be kind of predictive, but let it be prescriptive. And so a lot of analytics are really much, hey, here's a dashboard of your problems. Some of them will recommend, based on past performance, this is going to be late. But if you can actually start saying, I'm going to be prescriptive, and here's how you resolve that issue, then you've got, you know, some true value. And with the, you know, with the newer generation of people coming on board into supply chain, let them leverage that experience, you know, and knowledge workers kind of technology, you know, brain trust that existed in the company to how they solved that problems in the past, and let the machine help the new generation.
See, it's cool. I like what you're talking about, right? Because I think that right off the bat, the genie's out of the bottle. If you think you're going to be doing business the same old way, I mean, you just got another thing coming, and you can't expect to survive or have some sort of legacy if you think that you're not going to have to innovate your business and leverage technology like yours. I don't know other ways to put it.
Yeah. And a lot of folks will say, hey, you know, I have systems that do that already. You know, I already have an ERP system and it does some supply chain stuff and I already have that stuff.
Yeah.
And in reality, that's like you said earlier, like, where do I begin? Weird. So some of those supply chain systems within, you know, most of the ERP systems, they're really not focused on sophisticated pricing. They're not supposed to, they're really an execution system with for the enterprise. And what we're really talking about here is outside the four walls.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking the supply chain. It's not, you know, most of the ERP systems are going to hit you, you know, throw the production over to finished goods into the warehouse. And you may, you know, support the at an aggregate level, but it's not going to kind of fine tune how much inventory you need at this distribution center versus this wholesaler versus this e-commerce warehouse. You know, that's not what it was designed for.
No, not at all.
So then we complement. So Blue Ridge complements the ERP systems that people are using today. Let it be the transactional backbone that's running your manufacturing facility, and let Blue Ridge be the kind of the ERP of your supply chain.
There you go. Dead sexy, my friend. All right. David Kahn is his name. Blue Ridge Global is the company. Supply chain and how you create some sort of resiliency was the topic. I enjoyed this conversation, and it's we got to wrap it up. I'm sorry to hear that. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast, David Kahn.
Thank you very much.
All right, listeners,
we're going to do it again.
Well, yeah, hell yeah. All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. All of the contact information. By the way, are you active out there on LinkedIn? How do people get a hold of you?
So I am active on LinkedIn. You just spell my name, David Kahn, C-A-H-N. Help you out.
Bingo. Easy peasy. All of his links will be out there. And do not go away. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, what did I tell you, man? He is passionate about supply chain and being solving freaking problems. That's what he's all about. You needed to reach out to this gent. Blue Ridge Global, David Kahn. You will not be disappointed one bit. Not one bit. If you're looking out in the video, I'm holding up one. Not one bit. All right, we're going to wrap it up pretty quick on this one. We don't really have time to waste. Remember, Industrial Talk 2.0 is coming your way. This is a place where you need to get on a podcast. You need to start developing that content about you, your company, and then be able to collaborate, because we're building a market and we're building a network of networks, because we need for you to constantly educate, constantly collaborate, to innovate, because we need you for the future. Industry, I'm a big fan, as you can tell. All right. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly, hang out with people who are bold and brave and dare greatly. Hang out with me. Change the world. That's what we're talking about. Thank you very much. We're going to have a great interview right around the corner.